of the presentation. So I will recall everybody that this is just my view, not the view of my current nor future employer or past or whatever. So how does the start on the performance started? I mean, if you also attended my talk yesterday, obviously we had a lot of stuff to do in Samba 4, the AD part last year. And maybe performance is not the first thing that would come out of your mind when some stuff is not clearly not working, like multi-domain forest, sysvol replication, and so on. So actually, it came out roughly at Samba XP last year. I can't remember if it was just before or just at Samba XP, but I do remember doing some stuff during the barcamp. And we thought with Michael Adams, well, it would be nice if we could demonstrate that we are able to install the Microsoft Exchange schema on Samba 4 ADDC, just to prove that we are able to do this on Samba 4, because Exchange modify a lot of the Active Directory schema. I don't know among you who has already tried to install Exchange on the Active Directory Domain Controller Windows? Nobody? Okay. So still, it's a something like a thousand of new schema entries. So that's pretty heavy load on the schema. And so we saw that, well, if Samba managed to install this, then we can say, well, we are pretty good. I just put a star here because obviously, you're going to see that pretty good is, for me, my vision. And if you take the vision of someone more purist like Stefan Messmacher, our current schema unloading is not still perfect. That's why schema modification are off by default. But the thing is that doing this test, I think, proved that we are fairly reasonable. And we just give ourselves an extra confidence by not enabling the schema modification by default. And so we did some initial tweaking because even the installation itself was not working correctly because we had some other small bugs. And we managed to install those modifications in the schema in roughly 2 hours. Well, it takes 5 to 10 minutes on my laptop, in a VirtualBox VM, untuned. So it gives you some idea. So I think there was some room for improvement. Even we could be as good or as Windows or closely as good as Windows, it would be very good. So as I say, ask Stefan Messmacher, in order to understand what does it mean quite okay and not perfect, I must confess I lose track of what are the real reasons behind this. Okay, so speeding up the schema modification. So we need to trace where the time is spent, obviously. So I tried with gprof, but it was not giving any insight because it turned out the time was spent not in one function, but sometimes multiple one, and the granularity of those measurement in gprof was too big, so it was giving some weird information, like saying, okay, it is somewhere in LDB modify. Okay, I was expecting this also, but I want to know where more precisely in LDB modify is the problem. So I switched to CalGrind. I think CalGrind is quite good, but it's maybe too great. The performance hit that you take with CalGrind is pretty big. So might be something else out of the box. Most probably try something like Perf, even though I heard that Perf is also putting some performance. But CalGrind is very neat, but it's very putting a big penalty on the speed, which is sometimes a bit nasty. So debugging where the time is spent in Exchange was not super simple because with 1,000 modification, it's hard to trace where the time is spent, and it's basically timing out and the Exchange installation just will give up saying, okay, I can't install Exchange on this server, it's too slow. I don't know. Hopefully, I was able to reproduce it with a couple of smaller examples. Something like 5 classes and 10 attributes was also rather slow. Like, it would take something like 1 minute and a half or 2 minutes for 5 of classes and attributes, which looks kind of not very okay. So 2 minutes is something bearable, and command line modification will not time out, but still it would be too much for what it is. And starting on this small example allowed to trace things a bit more deeply. So tracing showed actually that we spend most of the time reloading the current schema from the database. Because every time you modify the schema, potentially we need to get the new schema version because you are maybe about to insert objects, and so we definitely cache some information. But if you keep on modifying the schema, we need to throw away this cache and re-get it from the database. And well, clearly it shows. So just before I'm going to more details, I just wanted to add a small word on call grind. So I don't know who among you is familiar with call grind. So I think it's a pretty neat tool, and there is this tool called Kcache Grind. So I suppose maybe Jeremy is aware of it.
Yep.
So it gives you some graphs like this one. Okay. Here it's, I can actually start. So Kcache Grind, and then the name of the trace I did before with Valgrind, with the option Calgrind. And crunch, crunch, crunch. So I get the graph of my codes, and I can see, for instance, that, so I'm going to go where I know. So I know that, oh, this function is where I'm spending most of my time. So it's not worth investing what's going on before, or not very much, but it might be interesting to see where then in this function I'm spending most of my time. Like, oh, this, do you see the LDB key is taking mostly 30% of my time, so might be investigating why we are calling this function and why this function is taking so much time. Maybe a small improvement in this function, as we are calling it 150,000 times, might be worth, I mean, might get some, at the end, some good improvement. Sorry. So the thing is that, so I said the tracing in Valgrind and Callgrind is pretty, put a pretty high penalty. So what you can do, you can actually specify inst at start option, which is by default yes, but you can specify to no, and then use Calgrind control to trigger the starting of the tracing. It makes the execution of the program when the tracing is not run slower, but not as slow as if it was running with all the tracing of Callgrind. Well, as I said, Callgrind is a neat tool, but still, sometimes a brain can be needed in order to read the result of Kcache Grind, because sometimes, I mean, he's trying to redo calculation, and I think that sometimes the calculation is not correct when you get more than 100% time. Obviously, it's not correct, or if the task before is taking less time than the task after, it's something. So a sign of something is broken. So let's go back to the speeding of the schema modification, which is in fact the first step of getting Samba to, it was at least my first step in getting Samba more faster. So why it was slow? As I said before, so in order to comply with Microsoft implementation, the schema is queried several times per LDAP request or per RPC request. On read, on write. On write can be pretty obvious, but on read too. And when I say several times, it's a lot of time. I don't know, I didn't count, but we are doing a lot of search. So we end up creating a, a lot of structure to cache the information, to present the information in a very efficient way with sorted trees and stuff like that. But creation of those structures are not cheap. And we made the assumption, which is a pretty valid assumption, that we don't change the schema every day. But the thing is that when you update the schema, as I say, we have to throw away those stuff. And if you keep, every time you're adding a class or an attribute, you keep swashing away your cache, then obviously you are spending most of the time not actually doing the insert into the database or checking the validity of the stuff, but just recalculating, recreating your stuff, reloading the cache, resorting the elements and stuff like that. And actually, Microsoft Windows is not doing this. There is this this pseudo attribute that you can. Where is my? So you have this schema update now pseudo attribute that you can send via LDAP on the root DSC partition to force Active Directory to reload it. Otherwise, it will reload some change. I mean, you will be able to use your new change only after a couple of minutes. So obviously, Microsoft is doing some caching. So why shouldn't we doing it also? I mean, why shouldn't we keep the cache a bit more longer if Microsoft is doing it? It can't be worse. Okay. So in order to make our developer life in Samba 4, at the beginning, we used to reload the schema. So every time it has changed, as I said, or when Windows is doing it only every 2 minutes, or if the schema update now is issued. So I had this brilliant idea saying, OK, let's not reload the schema every time. Let's do it only when I've got the schema update now commands, or after x6 seconds. So by doing this, you end up, if you are doing a lot of schema modification, but you have no schema update now commands occurring, you are not throwing away your cache, and so you are still using the same version, and that makes the stuff much more faster. And the second brilliant idea was, okay, not everybody is modifying the schema at the same time. You have usually one administrator that is doing it. You don't have an army of 15 administrators that are trying to play nasty tricks with each other, trying to modify at the same time the schema. Or if so, I highly convince you to, I only invite you to change company because I don't think it's going to be the good company to stay for a while. So I changed a bit some code so that we adapt to this strategy. Like, we plan for the best solution by default, and we just assure ourselves that nobody is trying to play some tricks behind our back. And we, in order to do so, we have this USN on the partition that gives an idea of when the partition was last modified. So we store some cache with the information of the USN of the last modified time of this schema partition. And if nobody has modified the partition, then the cache is valid and we can use it. If not, then we have to ignore our modification cache and go back to the real data in the database, which is slower, but in reality, nobody does this. So most of the time, you are using the cache. So that was the first step of the upgrade. I would like to introduce you things that I thought that it was granted when I started to use Samba and LDB, and things that actually are not so granted. And you might say, oh, what? Is it really true? And I would say, yeah, unfortunately, it is really true. But not it should hopefully be changed in a very short amount of time nowadays. So let's see this context. You have 70K objects, user groups, DNS entries, contacts, whatnot, you name it. So it's a big database per our standard, but in fact, in the reality, in the wild, it is a rather small database. DNS entries tends to grow very quickly, groups tends to go very quickly, and users, if you are a successful company, then also tends to grow pretty quickly. But it's strange that basically groups and DNS entries our computers are growing much more faster than the user. So 70K object is not a very super big database. It's a medium one. And there was a guy on the mailing list back in December that was complaining that starting DLZ bind with this 70K user was super slow, taking a couple of seconds, and he didn't understand why, and stuff like that. So let's say that you have bind, and you are doing this kind of search. So what you are doing here, in fact, you are doing a full scan into the base partition. You are loading every single record, and you are checking if they match this criteria, because DC is an attribute that is not indexed by default in Active Directory. And if it don't match, then you throw it. If it matches, then you return it to the user. It turns out that in a partition, in fact, you don't have so much, in the base partition, you don't have so much object like that. And so you end up maybe loading your 65K object and just returning 5. That's not very good, as I said. This one is, I think, even more nastier. So you would expect this to, so you are doing a base search on a small OU where you expect to have maybe 10 users, but you have in your whole, so you have really made a lot of compartment into your database in your provision so that each OU has not a lot of users, but in the overall you have a lot of users. So, but you say, okay, I told somebody to go in this OU, so it should be pretty fast at just loading those OU. No. What we do an indexing search. Yeah, on the object class user, which is, let's say it returns 30K users. And we load all the objects, and we check if they match the criteria, and the criteria is yes, and if they match the scope is no, and so we have loaded our 30K users, but in fact, we will drop most of them and just keep the 10 that are matching the scope. Not very efficient. So these two things are something that, especially the second one, something that you wouldn't expect it to be that way. Well, so the thing that we are doing in Samba, we are using LDB for storing data. So there is some, not exactly storing, for accessing our data. And the backend that we are using nowadays is called TDB. So you had this talk this morning about the non-so-trivial database. And LDB is using, for the moment, the TDB backend. There's a discussion to use. There is potentiality to use different backend, but the truth is that, for the moment, we are using this backend. So TDB is a key-value database. And for the key, we are using, actually, right now, the case-folded version of the DN. That is, we capitalize everything. And we have the record, which is actually your LDAP record, which is actually the value completely marshaled in a certain way, where we have the length of the record, the type of the record, the value, and so on. So you have basically to parse all of this in order to unpack the data. And index are also key value, and the key is kind of a DN. And the values are actually a list of the DN where this index is pointing. So if I have the index for the object class users, my value will be all the DNs that are matching these object class users. So for every index set search, we search the indexes first. We get the DN. We fetch the object that matches the index. We finish the filtering for the non-indexed attributes. That's, I think, pretty logical. If you specify in the query some attributes that are non-indexed, we have no way of filtering them before loading the object. Otherwise, if they are indexed, then we can use the indexes to limit the search and to limit the load of objects to the one that are matching your criteria. And for each DN of the index, we have to case fold it, in order to access the key. So you get all those DNs that are in a non-case folded format into the index record. You case fold them, you use them as a key to fetch the actual record in the database, and then you start to do some stuff on this. And then after, for each record, we're going to do a case fold one more time and check if it matched the DN, because it's the way the comparing only case folded DN is the only way to get a valid search, I mean a valid comparison between two DNs. So you specified OU equals small OU comma equal blah blah blah. So we have to case fold this one, which is your DN of the search, and we have to case fold all the DN of the object that we have found matching your criteria, and compare if those two DN match, or if the DN that you specified in the search is actually a father of the DN of the object. And something you have to understand is also that unpacking this object, so we pack them in the database, so they are pretty much constrained, so we have to unpack them. So if you have 20 attributes, we end up doing a lot of tire calls, roughly between 50 and 100 per object. That's quite a lot of number of tire calls. So what I'm presenting right now is not in master, it's in my LDB perf branch, and it's working reasonably well for me. If you want to run it on your provision and have a problem, don't blame me. So it's still under review. Some stuff I need to be fixed, but roughly the idea is okay. It passed next test, so I mean, it shouldn't be that bad, but I wouldn't recommend to run it in production. But after all, everybody is free to do whatever he wants with my code. So we have seen that case folding can represent 50% of the time if I'm taking this example here. So this case fold here is called, here we have 28%, and we have also here, this is also calling an anonymous method that is actually doing the case folding. This, I suspect that is it has been inlined by GCC. So we see here 50%, and I can tell you this because first, I've been analyzing those graphs for a long time, but also we see here, I mean, that this is related to case fold. So 50% of the time, case folding. So the idea is now, instead of storing the index in the natural way in the database, let's store it directly in the case folded way, so that when you are reading this index, you don't need to case fold it. So you case fold it once when you store it, but normally, the LDAP database is what we call the write once, read many. So we are normally doing, and we are doing much more reading than writing. So we should improve the speed by not having to do this case folding. Case folding is quite complicated to do. So especially if you have Unicode, so the less you do it, the more happy you are. So also, One of the second idea that I've implemented in this branch is instead of using the DN that is in your record, which means that you have already unpacked your record, is let's use the DN of the, I mean, this case folded DN from the index to do the filtering to see if it matched the scope of your search. If it doesn't match, then you can quietly ignore the record and skip it and not load it in order to realize that, yes, it did not match. So as I said before, we will spend some talloc cycle on it, and it can be great. Because freeing talloc object is also very expensive. If you don't trust me, I've got a proof. So this is by the way, the talloc capture, not the talloc, the call grant capture this user sent me on the list. Here we are doing, we are spending 50% of the time doing talloc free. On 294,000 objects, or yes, talloc objects, when we actually, if I can find somewhere, or maybe not, Well, no, but basically, we were returning 4,000 objects and we were discarding 294 objects, 294,000 objects. So we're returning like maybe a couple of percent only. So not doing this, we basically shaved this 15%. That's not a too bad improvement. So checking the if the object match is also allow us by we also do it in the case of non-indexed search. So if I go back to my first slide, or not first slide, but one of my first slides, this one. Okay, so this is a non-indexed search, but I've got already a scope. I mean, you give a DN where you want to search. So if your object didn't match this, I don't need to load your object. I already know that it won't be good. So I can actually speed up pretty much a lot of full scan by not loading the object, and not loading the object in full scan is even more costly because you basically load all the objects, so the 70K objects, you are unpacking them, talloking them, realizing that they don't match, talloking, freeing them. So in the case of full scan, it's a very huge penalty, so we tend to recommend not to do full scan, but obviously, in this case, BindDLZ is doing it, so I don't know. So also, one more thing is that we don't need to, if you are just looking for one attribute, why should we unpack all the attributes and talloc them? We can navigate in the structure of the attribute in the TDB record and just unpack the couple of attributes that you need and the couple of attributes that we need to do the job. So if you ask, yes?
So quick question. if you're actually looking over your whole TAMDD in the bind module, what sort of old setup is that?
Sorry? No. No, not necessarily. I mean, first, if you have your, I mean, if you have all your, it didn't really matter if you have the object in a zone or not. And second, if you replicate from, I mean, the cost is almost the same. I mean, these problems is always the same. Yes. Just you won't have this in the base partition. But if you do, let's say, if in your domain zone you have on 100K objects, this kind of search will take some time. So yeah, of course, if you have a separate zone, then it won't cause you so much problem because this particular one won't cause you a problem. But I can find you some other stuff. The second thing I discovered is that if you migrate from Windows 2003, by default, Windows 2003 will store the object both in the old DNS one and in the new zone. So if the admin didn't prune the old one before moving to, or before joining with Samba, then we will have the object in both area. And we are, I think, I filed a bug to do the search first for this old Windows 2000 location, as Windows is doing. So I mean, I took the example of Bind, but I can find a lot of queries pretty easily that are doing the same kind of stupid stuff or non-optimized stuff. So one last thing that has been done is to remove the loops in the operational module so that and actually when I say loops, it's double loops, so that we end up preparing some stuff before doing the request instead of for each object that is matching the criteria, looping on them twice for various stuff, which is pretty complicated. So the current result, most probably the thing where you are. So if I'm taking this search, it is not from Bind, nor from the internal internal DNS server. Okay. I could replace it user with something more reasonable, which is maybe contact. So if you have your Outlook that is configured to do LDAP search, and this is something you could have a lot of contacts with even a small company. I had this scenario. So we are seeing 600, 700%. So it's six or seven times more faster than it used to be. Mostly because, in fact, with big volume, we are not. We are just now fetching a couple of users instead of fetching a lot of users and discarding most of those users. That's, I mean, basically very impressive and very interesting. So here, if we specify just one or two attributes, then of course we are fetching all the objects because you ask so. But now we don't unfold a lot of attributes. We just keep unpack just a couple of them plus the security descriptor most probably, and we return them. And by doing this, we have change of 500 to 700%. That's also a pretty huge improvement. So there is a couple of third-party software that is doing such kind of search on the roots of the provision. So if you have a small setup, you won't see any difference. But if you start to have the same setup as the person before, then you're going to see the difference. OK, so those one, we still see so twice as the speed, a bit more improvement. And we also the things, something that proved that this is really not fishy, and I didn't created my test in order to prove that my changes are very making some improvement, is that make test for the Samba ADDC related, so it's make test equals Samba 4, is actually going 20% quicker than with this change than without. Given that, I think that make test is pretty bad scenario because we are doing a lot of writes in the AD, which is not the reality. I think it's not so bad that even with this, we are getting those improvements. So I said also smaller in comparison to bigger, faster, and scalier from the other company. So the future development is random indexing. Okay, so we want to be able to index stuff like that, because if you are doing replication, you are doing this a lot of times. So if your partition is big and you are doing the replication for the moment, if you are doing this, which is mostly always when you have the replication that you've seen, we end up doing a full scan. And if you remember what I said, full scan for the moment is loading all the attributes and all the objects, so it's very bad. So the idea is to introduce some range indexing so that we can end up loading a couple of objects that match the criteria rather than to load all the objects and then realize that only a couple of them really match the criteria, because we don't expect you to do a thousand of change on your database. Okay, we thought also to store the grid instead of DNS entries of DN as entries. So the idea is storing a grid is much more shorter. It's 16 bytes, when the DNs can be pretty big. So this should reduce pretty heavily the size of the database and allow us, in fact, to introduce the first one, the range indexing. So we can, if we reduce the size of the database, we can actually put more indexing in it, and because we have also a limitation for the moment on the size of the database, and that's why we are pursuing this initiative. It's not as easy as it seems, so that's why it's not still not. As I said, we reduce the size of the database as grid are only 16 bytes and DNs are very much larger. One other thing is to to store the security descriptor in a separate database and just store in each object that have a security descriptor the reference to the security descriptor that they are using. So if you have, so SD are pretty big objects, so if you have 40,000 users, then you have 40,000 identical as security descriptor, which is normally the case. You don't change so often on all the users the security descriptor. You might have a specific security descriptor for your company, but then most probably all your users have this same security descriptor. So instead of storing very big security descriptor every time for every object, we end up of just storing a small reference, a grid, most probably 16 bytes, and have one copy of the security descriptor in another database. I'm not sure of this, but I think it will also speed up the NTI calls verification, because now that we have a reference, we know if you already pass the rules of the verification for one given security descriptor, and we have now a way to know that the next security descriptor we are about to evaluate is exactly the same for exactly the same kind of object, then we can reuse this result. And checking security descriptors can be pretty expensive, especially one in Active Directory. So suspecting that we should gain, if we do the adequate change, we should gain some time here making the processing of the request faster. Okay, so this is a slide I introduced lately for Jeremy. So the question is, what about OpenLDAP? So I've got a BA, so my answer might not be so honest. So I think OpenLDAP has a good reputation of being able to deliver high performance in LDAP. But for the moment, I still want to see if there is any speed gain by using OpenLDAP as the backend of TDB instead of LDB instead of TDB. As I said, this needs to be proven, and I know that a lot of person wants to have OpenLDAP, and I can explain to a lot of person why I don't think that OpenLDAP is, in the vision that they have, is such a fit. But maybe for the performance reason, it might be a good reason. And there was also this proposal from Volker, maybe to have the LDB MDB, so not to use the whole OpenLDAP stack, but just the database. Yes, Jeremy?
So I think the only problem, and this was brought up by Howard, is that, what is it, they use MDB as their backend, or is it MDB? I can never remember.
Yeah, MDB.
But it's only 64-bit. There is no 32-bit version of it.
Yeah.
So that may cause a problem for small boxes like Kai's.
Yeah, but nothing in this case would prevent us to have two. I mean, we still have the old TDB backend.
We could use that for small boxes.
Yeah. Because in the same time, maybe you are not trying to serve 1 million users out of the box. I mean,
yeah.
I know that it is the objective of Kai, but then one it will be this, and the only blocking factor will be the size of the database, the fact it's only 64-bit, then we might be very close to a good solution. And by that time, maybe all the small devices will be already ARM64, so it won't be a problem. Okay, so last slide is, you don't have a Machupa 2 or somebody team member close to you, and your queries are slow. What can I do? Okay, first, check that you are using the index. If you are not using index, that's not good. So you can use LDB search with this environment variable, LDB 1 unindexed, and it will print you all the queries that you are doing that are not indexed. If you are doing a query that is not indexed and you are doing it very often, try to change your criteria. If the suspicious came through LDAP and you are not able to see them, for instance, in Wireshark, then you can do it by restarting Samba with the same environment variable. But the first one didn't require to restart Samba, the second one requires. So. Then after, you can use callgrind and generate a callgrind file and send us to do Samba team or try to analyze it yourself. You need to have a precise scenario, and Yeah, and you need to be ready to handle the data if you really want them to be solved to the Samba team or to the list. And I don't know what is leaking from these traces. I suspect nothing is leaking, but I'm not sure. So if you are really, really, really concerned, it might not be the good thing. And one more thing is that what you can do is to help us to get a script or multiple script to get database that have the good size that are representing the reality. I can generate quite easily a database with 20,000 or 50,000 contacts, which are all called the foo blah blah blah, but they will have just a couple of field set and stuff like that. It wouldn't really represent what is in the field. So if someone was ready to help us to get some tools to get a couple of representing database for a couple of thousand of users, it will help us to be able to reproduce the problems and then after to use them. Okay, more questions?